Thursday, November 1st, 2012. I'm Kristen Nakashioya. Police have two suspects in custody in connection with last night's shooting at the center of USC campus. At least one of them will be charged with attempted murder, police said today. One victim who was in critical condition last night has been moved to fair condition, California Hospital Medical Center has confirmed. Gino Hall, who was the target of the shooting outside the Tudor Campus Center. The City News Service has reported that he was shot 7 times but is expected to survive. 3 other victims were treated for non-life-threatening wounds. 1, Devontae Smith, is also in fair condition. The other 2 victims are stable. A gunman opened fire at 11:35 p.m. Wednesday on USC's Truesdale Parkway. The victims were in line for a Halloween party taking place inside the campus center. The USC Department of Public Safety, Captain David Carlisle.
There was a large group of students and guests that had spilled out onto Truesdale Parkway waiting to get in to the event. Then at about 11:35 or shortly thereafter, there were a number of gunshots fired. Fortunately, we were able to broadcast a radio description of the suspects, and one of our DPS officers saw them, was actually able to detain the suspects who matched the description. We called LAPD for assistance, and they ended up detaining both of those individuals as suspects in this shooting.
DPS estimates that there were about 200 students outside. After 13 minutes, officers caught the suspects. Text and email messages sent out to students at 11:59 p.m. asked them to seek shelter and wait for further information. LAPD restricted the shooting area as a crime scene, but an email at 2:29 a.m. declared Campus Center open to students, faculty, and staff with university IDs. About 2 hours later, campus was fully open. Classes resumed as normal this morning. Carlisle's again.
You know, we appreciate being an open campus. We don't have a big barbed wire fence around this campus. We like people to come and appreciate what USC has to offer. One of the downsides is sometimes you get people coming to campus like this person who brought a gun.
That conversation about an open campus continues today. Here's Susan Strawford, director of USC's Peace Center.
Safety isn't in defining who is them and who is us. You know, and if we could only protect ourselves from them, then things would be safe. No, because to me the problems are systemic ones. And gun violence, I believe, is a huge issue, gun access. I don't think we can wall ourselves off from the problem as if the problem is only out there and in the neighborhood. I feel like, you know, we have to get involved in creating a safe community.
For continuing updates, follow Annenberg TV News online and at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. A group of protesters gathered in front of City Hall today to raise awareness for food accessibility in downtown LA's homeless population. Catherine Davis was there to get the story.
If you want to go down to Skid Row and hand out food to the homeless, you might get in trouble with the law.
My organization has been cited, and a lot of our partners, like the Hippie Kitchen, like Food Not Bombs, who we work very closely with, they've been cited, they've been arrested, yes.
That's Eric Aris from activist group LA Can, one of the organizations that came to City Hall today to protest strict regulations on food distribution on Skid Row.
Feeding folks is not a crime. Don't harass our food.
Activists say that they are being unnecessarily cited for doing work that benefits the city's homeless population. But the city and the missions on Skid Row say that regulations on food distribution are in place for health and safety reasons. Andy Bales is the CEO of the Union Rescue Mission on Skid Row, one of the organizations that makes up the LA Downtown Clergy Council.
Our kitchens are supervised by the health department and everybody so that they can make sure that our food is safe. And those things are missing when somebody just puts some things together in their kitchen and drops it off.
Bales says that there's another issue with unauthorized food distribution.
We also serve in a way that doesn't add to the trash on Skid Row, and that's one of the problems with outside feeding is a lot of the leftover plates and things end up on the street and add to the mess that is Skid Row.
But demonstrators like Aris say that safety liabilities and trash issues are beside the point.
What we're trying to say is that, honestly, that is not an issue. The real issue is hungry communities and the fact that people don't have access to fresh, nutritious food, and we're trying to do that work.
But Bales and the L.A. Downtown Clergy Council say that there is enough access to food downtown. Most estimates put Skid Row's homeless population at about 4 or 5,000, and the four main missions downtown serve about 8,000 meals a day. And Bales emphasizes that it's not just food that they give out.
I think the most important thing is that we're connected in a relationship with the people that we feed, and we can direct them to other resources to help end their homelessness.
Today's ralliers hope just to raise awareness about food access for LA's homeless and to ask the city not to cite them for trying to do good work. The LA Downtown Clergy Council does not believe that people handing out food should be punished for trying to help, but they say the most effective way to help is to volunteer with one of the many organizations that are already doing safe, legal work within the Skid Row community. Catherine Davis, Annenberg Radio News.
Elementary school has opened in the Florence Graham area of South LA, named after longtime educator and LAUSD administrator Dr. Lawrence H. Moore. The school focuses on skills for the 21st century. Reporter Melissa Runnels tells us more.
The skies were overcast, but the mood was sunny. After 2 years of construction, the Lawrence H. Moore Math Science Technology Academy officially celebrated itself today. The new Clean Line Modernist buildings at 61st and Hooper opened in August and now serve 754 students aged 6 to 11. Student body president Freddie Herrera was grateful for the lack of crowding in the new school.
It is awesome that we have a new school in our area because at the other elementary school, it was overcrowded. Here, we don't have that problem.
The new academy focuses on what are known as STEM skills, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. California Congresswoman Lucille Roybal-Allard says these skills are more critical than ever before.
It is important to the future success of our country and our competitiveness in the world marketplace.
A group of sixth graders were on hand to help with the ceremonies.
My name is Jasmine Perez. I'm 11 years old and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Jesse Torres and I am 11 years old and I am in sixth grade.
My name is Sergio Castro. I'm in sixth grade and I'm 11 years old.
I'm Sarah Randa and I'm in sixth grade.
The kids were pretty happy about their new school. Jasmine said it was a friendlier school than the one she'd been at before.
And in my other school, it's like not compared to this at all. There's like many, many kids that are very mean and very disrespectful. And when I first came to this school, I thought I must have a happy year in this new school.
And Sergio was very clear about the pluses of the Moore Academy.
It's easier to learn stuff here because in the old school, I was always struggling, but here's way better, you know. It's quiet, and the teachers, they focus on the lesson a lot, yeah. And the old school is kind of the same, but these seem more professional than the others, yeah.
And, as Jasmine pointed out, that means the kids get more attention from their teachers.
I like the school because I have a great teacher. She's a really rare teacher to me because I don't usually have a teacher who really supports me and, like, pushes me and tells me, like, you can do this, come on, you're... Shout out to Miss Grande!
And when the kids are willing to say they actually like school... That's saying something. Melissa Runnels, Annenberg Radio News.
The first night in November will be a little chilly this evening with a low of 55 degrees. Tomorrow we can expect temperatures in the low 70s, but Saturday will heat up for some great game day weather with a high of 78 degrees. Sunday is even warmer with temperatures up in the mid-80s with sunny, clear skies. Annenberg Radio News, we meet with District Attorney candidate Alan Jackson. today is the start of La Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. Even though the two-day festival ends tomorrow, unofficial celebrations started on Olvera Street last week. Max Schwartz was there for the story.
Today on Olvera Street, altars decorated with flowers, candles, and photos of loved ones circled the monument at the south end of the street. During Dia de los Muertos, families reconnect with their dead by gathering around these altars. People from all over the world came to the historical center of Mexican culture in Los Angeles to celebrate.
I feel that there's like a cultural reference and experience that you really don't get on any other day.
Well, because my granddaughter is studying Spanish in Australia, and we've brought her to Los Angeles to see the Day of the Dead.
I'm here to, visit and Olvera Street, and I'm glad to see so many children and so many people looking at the altars.
We're here because of a field trip for a creative writing class.
On holiday here in Los Angeles, and we thought it'd be interesting to see the Day of the Dead stuff down here on Olvera Street.
I'm here to celebrate Dia de los Muertos, and I decided to dress up in their honor just because.
The 1-2 students have to take pictures and write about their picture.
This is a new... There's a new revival of tradition of Dia de los Muertos, which, is ancient.
It's like a rich experience. I don't do this often, so this is really good for me.
It's a day to celebrate people that have passed and remember them, not grieve over them.
And it's actually almost over, so it's kind of sad, but we did have a good time. We've been out here for a while.
It's nice. It's very nice.
Anyways, this was a great day. I'd like recommend anyone, pretty much anyone who hasn't done this to do this, so.
Generally, items that represent the person make up his or her altar, along with religious displays. Today, flowers, candles, decorations, and photos of the dead surrounded the El Pueblo Historical Monument. On the first day of the festival, families commemorate their lost children, and tomorrow, their elders. Max Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
To a new California law that allows online voter registration, a large group of young voters has joined the election pool. As Aaron Schrank reports, Election Day is 5 days away, and they could make a difference for ballot measures that are right on the edge.
The number of registered voters in California has surged above 18 million for the first time ever. 1.4 million new voters registered to vote in next week's election. Nearly half of them took advantage of a new law that kicked in 6 weeks ago and registered online. Somewhat unsurprisingly, the new voters tend to be younger and to the left politically, according to a data firm that reviewed county reports. This surge of young voters could impact Tuesday's state elections, particularly Proposition 30.
Proposition 30 is close, and it affects people of beginning voting age more than it does anyone else. People in the state schools will get a rebate. So there's a direct financial incentive to supporting Proposition 30.
That was Martin Says, a political science professor at CSU Northridge. College campuses have been a key stop for Governor Brown in his recent push for Prop 30, which has 48% support, according to a field poll.
And since it's close, it may determine the outcome.
Registered Democrats now account for 48% of California voters, compared to 43% before the tally. 33% are registered as independents and 19% as Republicans. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
One of Tuesday's candidates is Alan Jackson. He's seeking to become L.A. County's next district attorney. Rosalie Murphy spoke with him yesterday.
Now, I feel like for the past 5 or 6 years, we've been hearing in Los Angeles, gang crime is down, violent crime is down. Do you think that's accurate?
I think over the past 5 or 6 years, it has been accurate. Generally speaking, I think those days are coming to a quick halt, and it's coming in the wake of something called realignment. One of the things that I would bring to your listeners' attention is what a failure this definition of non-serious, non-violent, non-sex offender felons is. And those include involuntary manslaughter, convictions for vehicular manslaughter, possession of explosives and explosive devices, threatening witnesses, threatening jurors, statutory rape, assault, battery. And because we're overcrowded at the local level, individuals are going to start being let out over and over and over. As a matter of fact, it's already begun. And I think that's going to really affect the crime rates that we've seen over the years. And those crime rates are going to start moving up.
I know in the case of realignment, you've suggested a form of alternative sentencing that might have some more intense supervision. What kind of a model do you see for that, and where might we get funding for something like that?
Well, the funding is going to have to come from the state. It's as simple as that. We can't, in the county, fund an entire alternative sentencing program. And the funding is supposed to come from the state, as a matter of fact. This was a state idea. These are statutory courts. And not only does it keep someone out of jail in the first place and put them in a program where they can actually be helped, but it keeps them out of jail in the second and third and fourth place.
Where does three strikes play into this? Frequently, that third offense is a drug crime, is a relatively low-level crime.
That's not true. It's just not true. That is an absolutely incorrect assessment that the third strike I'm assuming when you say that it's a relatively low-level drug offense, we then sentence them to 25 years to life. That just doesn't happen. We do not seek, as a presumption, a third strike sentence on anyone unless their current felony is violent or serious as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So what we're doing here in Los Angeles is a very measured approach to three strikes. But we maintain some discretion. In other words, the old adage, the old story, the sort of urban legend about a guy who steals a piece of pizza and gets tossed in the penitentiary for 25 years to life, that hasn't happened in Los Angeles since before 2000, since before Steve Cooley took over.
Now, you've said when you're the district attorney, we'll know in 6 or 7 days. How are you feeling?
We will. I feel great. I really do. Look, this is the time for a titanium spot. I'm very excited about where we stand. Thank you so much, Rosalie.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners.
Thanks a lot.
For our conversation with Jackson's opponent, Jackie Lacey, visit AnnenbergRadio.org. Trust announced today that citywide art exhibit Pacific Standard Time generated $280 million in its six-month run last winter. More than 60 institutions displayed art created in L.A. from October 2011 to March 2012. One of those was 1301 PE, a mid-city gallery. Here's Brian Butler, one of its founders.
I don't think we could measure it, you know. Well, the audience is always changing. You know, it's evolving. It's an international group of people. So I don't know if the Tate International group comes here, which they did, that could be because of Pacific Standard Time. But it also might be on their radar that it's time to come to Los Angeles.
About 40% of visitors went to these galleries specifically for Pacific Standard Time exhibits, according to a Los Angeles Economic Development Corporation study released today. The exhibit cost institutions and the Getty Trust about $29 million, but visitors spent about $110 million.
So the economic impact for us was a wonderful byproduct of all of that. But we didn't start out and say, let's see if we can create something that will generate X number of dollars. Well, I think the arts do have great economic impact. Few studies that we have are very precious because they begin to tell that story.
The exhibit also supported almost 2,500 jobs. Today, a coalition of activists dropped a lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles and the proposed NFL football stadium at LA Live. The developer, AEG, reached an agreement with the coalition, which said the city didn't consider the negative impacts the stadium could have. AEG has promised to establish a $15 million trust fund to build affordable housing in the area and $2.5 million to spend on enhancing the area with parks, transportation, and air quality improvements. Now we check in with Frances Wang to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Kristen. Coming up on ATVN, we'll be talking more about the campus shooting last night, in addition to our reporter Eric Burris, who will be talking about Proposition 35 and the flooding in New Jersey.
That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Sam Weiser and ATVN. Rosalie Murphy is our producer. Aaron Schrank is our executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Kristen Nakashioya.
Thank you.